It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 4, and as we look at the fourth chapter of John, we're going to begin reading up at the 34th verse, and then we're going to read over to verse 45. And so please open your Bibles to John chapter 4, and we'll begin reading here shortly. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. John, Gospel of John, chapter 4, beginning to read with verse 34. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one sows and another reaps. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence, and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. We've read the precious word. Now please that we, as always, we begin with prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come today. I thank you for the opportunity to study this precious word. I ask for your guidance and for your direction and for your strength. Please, dear Lord, just give us your wisdom. Forgive us, dear Lord, for our sin, for our faults. And we know, Father, that it's all covered by the blood, the precious blood, if we've come by faith to you, and yet we still continue to be disobedient. Please, dear Lord, that you will guide and lead and strengthen us today. Guide and lead and strengthen us every day. Bring those that do not know you as their Savior, that have not been saved, have not went to John chapter 3 and realized they need to be born again. I ask today that they be born again, that they come to you. And then, dear Father, please, and not only be born again, but then begin to serve you and call you Lord and Master of their life. Please, dear Lord, that be the case today. So I just ask for your power and your strength and your wisdom as we study this precious word today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a joy it is to study the precious word, especially the Gospel of John. It doesn't matter if we're in John or Revelation or Hebrews or Leviticus or wherever we're studying the precious scripture. It's wonderful. I just ask that you'll please guide and lead us as we enjoy this study. And as we backed up here, and we'd already kind of gotten down almost to verse 39, but the 36th and 37th verse is just so powerful, and we just need to spend a little more time in those verses of Scripture before we go on. If you've been with us very long, you'll realize that we study the Word of God. We don't make a fast movement through here. You can look at how many times that we've been together already in the Gospel of John. We're just to the fourth chapter. Some people could do the Gospel of John in a couple of visits, and that would be the size of it. But I want you to understand the Word of God. I want you to be saved, and I want you to serve the Lord. And this is how that we do it, is by knowing the Word of God. And so as we look here, we find that my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Again, the disciples couldn't understand how come that He wasn't hungry. Well, the reason He wasn't hungry is there's something more important. You know, so many times we just look at the at food and look at the activities of our life, and that is the most important. But the most important is to know the Word of God and to do the will of God. That's the important thing. And Jesus, of course, being the Son of God and being God Himself, understood that and carried that out properly. And then verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. Harvest is, my dear, surely, surely ready. And we need, my dear friend, we need to look at this and be ready and be prepared for the time, and be prepared that we be out planting seed and harvesting seed. It is the time. The field is white, already white to harvest. In other words, it's ready. And we don't have to wait. There's nothing to wait upon. We need to be busy about taking care of God's business. And so I ask that you take it very seriously and you be very busy about it. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now, as we look at this 36th verse, that's where I really want to spend some time. We're going to look up some cross-references. Fruit gathered by soul winners is something that is kept forever. It's eternal fruit. Eternal. Everything of this life is temporary. I don't care if you have decided to save just buy gold and save the gold, as that's the most important thing. Even that gold, silver, anything that is of this world is going to go away. And if it doesn't go away, and you do, because you're going to die, you're not going to be able to take it with you. And so you can make all kinds of plans of this life, but there's a day to be born and there's a day to die. And you don't know, and you have no control over either one of those dates. The only thing you have control of is this life here, this time here. And if you would take a piece of paper and a pencil right now, and you draw a line up and down, and then go across on the piece of paper, and then draw another line up and down to end. And if you would take and write at the first line that you have drawn and put birth or born, and then put your birthday there, and that'll make it very, very personal for you, the year, the day that you were born, and then come over on the other end and put death or die. Because that's exactly what you're going to do at some point in time, unless Jesus comes first. And then, if He would come and you do not know Him as Savior, you'll still be here. So you will have to face death. You're going to have to die. Now, you have a date with the first one, but you are not able to put the date on the second, so let's just put an X there. You know, we love to do that with our math or algebra. You use the X, and so now that's X. We don't know when that date is. So we've got that line between there. Well, that's your life. And so please, across there, write life, living, because that's what it is. And so if you knew exactly how long you were going to live, you could date that end one instead of having the X there, but you can't because you don't know. You can be very sick right now and think, boy, my days are numbered. The doctor could even tell you that you only have a couple of days left or a couple of weeks left. But the doctor doesn't know. It may be less, it may be more, but the doctor doesn't know. There's a day to be born and a day to die. But that life between, that living between, that's the important thing. And that's where we can gain this, you know, you can gain this eternal fruit. You can work and make a lot of money, and you can have a lot of money stored up in who knows what. And the day that X is fulfilled is the day that all that you've gathered is gone. Now, maybe your children or someone that you care for, you know, that maybe they'll get it all. It doesn't matter. You're not going to care. Because when the day that X that I have here at the end of that line, when that date comes, that hour comes, that's it. That's it. So if that's all, and anything that you gain here physically, earthly, we've been through that in the scripture studies here, anything that's earthly, then it's there's not going to be anything there, nothing. And so when you die, you dust, you came into this world, and dust you're going to go back out. There's nothing, nothing. You've worked so hard for nothing. Now, there's ways of improving that, changing that, and that is that somewhere in this lifeline that we have here, you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior, born again. Now, if you've already done that, then date that. Put another line. And put born again, saved, and put the date. Well, from that time till the time that you fulfill that X, whatever date that might be, then we have an opportunity to build up this eternal fruit. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. When you work for somebody or own your own business or whatever the case might be, maybe you're retired and you're getting the benefits of your labor and you that money comes in, and so all that is gathered up. You're receiving wages, either wages that you earned in the past or wages that you're earning today. And so as those wages are coming in, you understand that. You understand that principle. Well, we need to understand the same thing pertains to our relationship with the Lord Jesus and our service to Him. We are gathering fruit. We are reaping. He that reapeth receiveth wages. And so it spoke of the harvest was white unto harvest, and so the harvest is ready. So He's speaking, let's get busy at harvesting. The planting has been taken care of. We do still need to plant because there are still people being born. But there was much planting that's been done. We need to be busy about reaping, bringing in the harvest. Doing both, actually. And so, but I want you to see that from the time that you are born again, if that be today, we have an opportunity to store up treasure in heaven that we're going to enjoy eternally. And so it's not just something that is temporary, that's earthly, but it's eternal, it's spiritual. It's of the earth or it's of heaven. Now, you got a choice. Anything that you do here upon this earth, unless it is done for the purpose of pleasing God, something heavenly, it's going to go away. It's going to go away. It's, you know, if the economy falls, why, it will fall with it. Anything that you do heavenly, of heaven plans, God sent, you know, us directions. He told us what to do, how to work, how to serve. And if we would do that, then we are laying treasures up in heaven. And so when we leave this earth, either by the rapture or through death, whenever that time that X that we have, they're not knowing when that is. That's a part of the formula we don't understand. We don't know. So we need to be prepared for that. Can we figure it out? No. But we'll know the day when it comes. It'll come. And then it's too late. So we need to be preparing. We need to be working on things like that. Let's look back now at a couple of... I want to spend a lot of time looking at that because I want you to understand fruit gathered by soul winners is eternal life. Our life serving God, praising God, bringing people to the Lord Jesus is things that earn us eternal fruit, eternal value. And so heaven's value. Let's look at Daniel chapter 12. You know how much you've been around me very long, how much I love the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 12. Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. We're going to look at the third verse today. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So those that are soul winners, those that bring people to Jesus, that's what it's talking about, to righteousness. You can try to live right. You can try to live righteously, but you won't. You have to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, if we would go over here to the New Testament, now the Gospel of John, where we're studying in the fourth chapter, but we're going to go to the 15th chapter, John chapter 15, and we're going to look at the 16th verse, John 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And so, you see, when we've had the command, and if you have come by faith to Jesus, then you become one of the chosen, you become one of the ordained, and that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. We need to get to work. We need to get to work. I love those two verses of Scripture. Now back to John chapter 4, and we're going to continue to look at this 36th verse. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. It's good to sow and to harvest, to reap grain. I love the farm. I work close to farmers. I farmed for years. I love the farm. Live on the farm. I love the farm. I understand farming. I understand that you plant the seed, and then there's a time of harvest. To do that is a very honorable profession, because we are supplying food for all the world. And we have learned how to do that very successfully, more successfully than any other nation anywhere. This people that lives here has learned and knows how to farm, great farmers, to use the land, to care for the land so that it continues to produce year after year. We've learned how to care for it, how to prepare the seed bed, how to feed it, and then how to harvest it. But it is much more profitable to sow the good seed of the Word of God, the incorruptible seed that will bring forth a harvest of life eternal. It doesn't get any better than that. Again, being so close to the farm, loving the farm, and yet there is nothing greater. And understand the same principles. We need to sow the seed. We need to tell people about Jesus. We need to tell them they must be born again. Tell them that the wages of sin is death. And then we need to watch and wait, because then many times somebody else has planted that seed and we need to be there to harvest. We need to be there to tell them Jesus saves, and at that time then they trust in the Lord Jesus and come by faith to Jesus. Matthew chapter 9. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37. Scripture confirms Scripture. The last two verses of that chapter, Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest. That's the condition we're in today. The harvest is here, and we need to not be playing church. We need not to be religious, but we need to be on fire, born-again believers, talking about Jesus and bringing people to Jesus Christ, harvesting the crop that's out there. There are untold millions in this world that have never heard the gospel. But today in this country, I'm afraid that most have, and they have rejected it and ignored it. That's a reason that we have this radio ministry and this radio program. That's a reason we have the internet and the opportunity for anyone, anywhere, can go and receive it. We've got hundreds of messages of Bible studies and Sunday messages up on that site. That's the reason we teach the Word of God on the radio. It's not a message that we have prepared from the Sunday sermon. It is a Bible study. No one seems to want to take time to study the Bible. They can have an awful lot of activities, but to come and study the Word of God verse by verse, it's just kind of unheard of today. The words on the end of this verse, he says, both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now, when we look at that, we need to understand that there's going to be a great day, a wonderful day, when the church will meet Jesus in the air. It's called the rapture of the church. We're going to meet him in the clouds, in the air. And when the saints, when they rejoice together at the marriage supper of the Lamb, that is what it's talking about. Reapeth he that sows and he that reaps may rejoice together. There's going to be a day that we're going to be together and to rejoice together and to enjoy that. You can find these words back in Revelation 14:13. Let's just go ahead and turn there. I hope that you're able to study the Word of God and to read the Word of God while we're looking these verses up. Revelation 14:13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. The reward is coming. The rejoicing is there. What a glorious day it's going to be, the day that we see Jesus, the light that he is going to show us, the joy. As we look at those that have sown, it can be looked at and properly that it could be someone in my father's generation, someone my grandfather's, great-grandfather's, or further back than that, that shared the gospel. And because that gospel was shared at that time, maybe it was a note. I have my grandmother on both sides, on my mother's side and my father's side, I have their Bibles. And I love reading notes that they have written in those old Schofield Bibles. Both of them are a King James Schofield study Bible, both of them. And so to possess both of those old Bibles, and you got to be careful with them because they're old. But I love reading them. I love looking to the verses of Scripture and then a little note that they made by the side. And do you realize that by doing that, and maybe you have a similar situation, maybe your parents weren't saved but your grandparents were, or maybe it was even something that your parents, grandparents, great-grandparents had written in their Bible. They were religious, maybe they were never saved, but they made a note there, and you read that note, and you read the Word of God that's right there, and hopefully they were saved, they were born again. And if they were born again, and you read that note 100 years later, and that brought you to salvation, do you realize that they were the ones that did the sowing? They were the ones that did the sowing. So you see, it's not just somebody today that would speak to you. You can go back to the Word of God and John, maybe John the Baptist, maybe the Apostle John, the disciple John. Maybe you look at the Word of God and you'll find that something you read in that Scripture, and it brings you to salvation. Yes, it's God's living Word, inspired Word. But John will get the credit for that. He's the one that sowed it. And so you don't have to be necessarily somebody that's alive today that's speaking it to you. It could be something that you're reading from some good old preacher that stood for the truth 150 or 500 years ago that got into writing, and you're reading that, and it brought you, that comment brought you to salvation through the Word of God. You heard the Word of God, and then this man made some comment about that wonderful verse of Scripture, and all of a sudden the Word of God and the Holy Spirit was able to touch your heart. Use that. So you see, we have no idea who's doing the sowing. And we have no idea in the past who has been a part of the reaping of those souls, of that sowing. But today, my friend, we can sow and we can reap. This word, you must be born again, that John has proclaimed here in chapter 3, how many people's been saved by those precious words that God has spoken to John. How many times have you used? I've used those precious words many, many times in telling people about the Lord Jesus. So not only am I sowing, or maybe I brought that word of God and I was able to reap that soul. The soul was saved, and so the harvest came at that time. Who knows what you're going to do, whether you're sowing or whether you're reaping. But the rewards are there, and God has a perfect accounting. You may tell somebody about Jesus, and it could be days or months or even years later when someone else would come by. Or possibly that person would again read a note. Maybe it's a card. Maybe it's something that you had written down for them when you shared the gospel, and all of a sudden they were digging through some things and they found it. You know, when a person dies, why, the family comes in and cleans up, all the cabinets and the drawers and the boxes, and oh, there's just all kinds of things in there. And you get to reading these little notes, and if someone was to write down, I got saved at this day, and then 50 years later, 75 years later, a grandchild or someone sitting there and reading that, and they get saved because of it. Who sowed that? God knows. God's got a perfect accounting of that. And so we need to understand that, yes, it is so important to be a good farmer and to raise good crops that folks will come and be able to eat, because it's so important that we eat. And we are. We're wonderful stewards of the land here in this land. But more important than that is sowing. And if we don't sow, there will be no harvest. And so the harvest must continue. But God tells us that there's been a lot of sowing going on, and it's time to harvest today. And one thing that's going to happen, and that is that there'll be a rejoicing together, as we looked at the end of that verse, and verse 36. He that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. There's going to be a day, and that day is when we're going to be at the great supper, and we're going to enjoy that. There's going to be two great suppers. One of them is going to be for the born-again believers, and we're going to be rejoicing over the rewards, what we've laid up in heaven, all those things that we've done for the Lord Jesus. And then there's going to be another supper, and that supper is going to be for all the birds, all the fowls, the eagles, the great vultures. All the birds of all the world will come to a great feast. And that's going to be at the end of the tribulation period, when all the lost, finally, they have decided that, you know, I'm not going to come, I'm not going to be saved. And so there's going to be a judgment, and God's going to pass judgment. His wrath is going to be poured out, and there are going to be millions of people, millions and millions of people are going to die. And then God's going to call all the birds of the air to come and feast upon kings and princes and very wealthy men and very poor men, and bond and free, all will be there, sad to say. We need to know, and it says here, and herein is the saying true, one sows and another reaps. We don't know. We don't know who has sown, and we have the opportunity of the harvest. We don't know when we're sowing who is going to have the opportunity to harvest. We may sow, we may reap all in the same time. We may do that, but we may not. But we will have a joy of coming together. And verse 38 says, I sent you to reap, and whereon he bestowed no labor, and other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And so you see, there's a time and there's a place where others have labored and we haven't, and yet we still will reap that harvest. Oh, my dear friend, please, please come to Jesus. What are you going to do about Jesus?